Good morning and welcome to our little podcast here. And what we're doing is we have a guest in the studio, and they are beneficiary of the David Cassidy Second Annual Memorial Celebration, which takes place on May 19th and 20th up at the King Neptune's Pub in Lake George. And you'll have a great time. So anyway, I'd like to introduce Alex Thomas, who is going to talk to us about the Adirondack.
Adirondack Save a Stray.
Save a Stray. I was going to say animal shelter. I don't know why, but why don't you talk to us a little bit about what the organization is?
Okay, so I am Alex. I'm with the team for Adirondack Save a Stray. We're a nonprofit organization seeking to help any abandoned stray animals or unwanted animals. We're a no-kill shelter. We started about 35 years ago with Meredith Feel. She had originally moved up from Long Island, and she had bought a barn and a house along with an antique shop. And starting out with the antique shop, she had also found that her barn was a primary spot for dropping off abandoned cats. So it came known around town that when you would go to the antique shop, you would also end up with a cat as well. So she saw that there was a high demand for an animal shelter in our area, and she really felt the need to help out in that subject. So she started an animal shelter about 35 years ago. Since then, we've helped save about 60,000 plus animals along the time. And gradually she's just expanded. We help out down south. We take in animals from kill shelters down south, from Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, Georgia. So we bring them up here and transport both puppies, adult dogs, cats, and kittens, as well as our local area. We take in abandoned cats, kittens, puppies, dogs, and help out really as much as we can in any direction. Like I said, she's been in the business for about 35 years and just wants to continue, you know, growing and getting our name out there as well. We had started a community outreach program recently as well, so then that way we can really focus on trying to help low-income families and anybody who does try to get involved with our shelter. We have a pet food bank. There's also training assistance, low-cost vet care, and also help with emergency care as well through our clinic that we hold at Adirondack Save a Stray. We have a great team. You can call and ask us any questions. We're very informative, and we try to help out really any way that we possibly can, whether it's you're having an issue with an animal that you had adopted from us or haven't adopted from us, or more than happy to reach out.
What are the hours of operation?
We open at 9, and generally we close at about 5.
Okay.
Monday through Sunday, all week, every day.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay, 7 days a week. Now, what's your position there?
I help with the adoptions, also help with wellness checks and caretaking for all of the animals. It's a huge group effort there. Really, all of us do a little bit of everything, and we all play off of each other just to try and make the best living environment for all of the animals. Okay. We're kind of a cage-free environment over there, so okay. We like to have them be as open as possible since it's their temporary home.
Mm-hmm. And you're located in Corinth?
We're right? In Corinth, New York, yes.
Okay, now you don't have to go over the mountain to get there, do you?
I have to go over the mountain
to
get there.
You have to go over the mountain?
I do have to go over the mountain to get there, but it's not too bad, and it's absolutely well worth it.
Okay, because I know I drive a school bus for special needs kids, and I pick them up in Wilton and take them to exit 19.
Okay.
But I have to pick up a child on Tuesday and Thursdays in Corinth, and I go up the mountain from exit 18.
Yes, it's a beautiful drive though, so
oh,
you can't
it is.
Complain too much.
No,
it's
I don't
gorgeous.
Complain at all. It's
absolutely.
A nice, and it's a beautiful area up
yes.
there too. All right, so what's the procedure if when you get a pet in and or a dog and or a cat, either people bring them in, do they bring them in and say, you know, we just can't take care of them, or do people pick them up and bring them in?
Some people do bring them in, whether or not they can take care of them or not. It could be because of possible injuries, moving situations, housing situations. A lot of places don't allow pit bulls, for instance. But then there's also quite a few folks who do end up finding abandoned animals on the side of the road, whether it be a kitten, cat, puppy. We also do transport from down south as well. From the kill shelters down there, we try to bring in a lot of puppies, dogs, and then also cats as well. But for all of the animals that we take in, we go through a good amount of testing. We test for heartworm. We also test for Lyme disease, parvo, guardia. And along with that, we do fecal testing as well. We do a full health check of all the animals that we have come in.
You know, that upsets me when you say pit bull, because I have a pit bull.
Oh, yes.
And this is our second one. And they are some nicest dogs that a person can have. And it's how you bring them up and treat them is, you know, the way they're going to be.
They are big babies. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a few that have come in from very hard situations. You can see the scarring. You can see that they've been in either an abusive family or in dog fighting. And with some love, they can absolutely turn around. All animals can pick up vibes. So as long as they know that you mean well, then they can really turn around an immense amount.
Well, sure. We had Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Racing Foundation, a retired Thoroughbred Racing Foundation. And it's the same thing with racehorses. You can't get near them when they're racing because they're so hyped up. But when they retire, they take them in and retrain them. And she said they're beautiful animals when you treat them with respect and just take care of them, they can be retrained, and then they become the tamest animals you want to see. So I think it's the same thing with dogs and cats. They can be retrained from, you know, a bad situation.
Absolutely. And originally pit bulls were actually looked at being the nanny dog. Right. Families would get pit bulls just simply because they're very protective and they're a great family dog. They love kids. And like we said, it all depends on how you treat them, and they'll treat you the same way right back.
I remember they had a kissing booth down on Broadway, one of the pet stores, with pit bulls in a little window, you know.
Oh, and my goodness.
And it was cardboard, and it looked like a house with a little window, and you paid $1. And you went up to the dog and pet it, and it would lick you. And people were going back for so many more kisses to give
imagine.
The dollar. You know, that may be a good fundraiser for you.
Hey, maybe that's something for us to look into next.
And it said on top, it said, pit bulls can't hold their liquor.
Oh.
But it was LICKER.
That is cute.
You know?
Very creative.
Yeah, so it was kind of neat. Mm-hmm. And just want to show how nice pit bulls are.
Absolutely.
Now, when the adoption process, okay, what are the fees for, let's say, a dog? And what is involved that you do when someone finds a dog that they want to purchase? And it's really not a purchase fee, correct?
No, it's not a purchase fee at all.
Okay.
It's technically a donation. Because we are a nonprofit, the mm-hmm. donation that you give us for your pet is tax deductible. And all the donations that we get go towards coverage, whether it's veterinary coverage from when they come up, transportation fees from them being moved up here, also foster home assistance as well, because what we do is we pull a lot of our dogs and puppies out of the kill shelters down south, so they won't be euthanized. We put them in a foster home in the meantime for transition to be brought up here, as we call their freedom ride.
Mm-hmm.
So the fees mostly cover that. A lot of them are for veterinary fees as
mm-hmm.
well, because they are, you know, they're dewormed, they're tested for multiple things as far as Lyme disease, heartworm, parvo, guardia, just like I had said before. And it's all health checked. So everything that you give us is a donation. It goes to, overhead. Shots, vaccines, as long as they're age-appropriate vaccines.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do adopt a puppy from us, they're essentially, you know, they're ready to go. We always recommend to go ahead and check in with your vets. Then that way they have an overview of their record as well. But we try to make sure that they're all set up. They're checked for everything possible that we can come up with, along with getting their vaccines too, and also the overhead for running the facility as well. You know, we do go to the food bank for the animals, so we try to get it at a, you know, more costly price.
Mm-hmm.
But between electric, between maintenance and everything else on the building, it all loops back around to helping the animals.
Okay. And now, how you? In a lot of cases, you really can't tell what breed of dog it is if it's a mixed breed, correct?
It's very tough, especially with rescue. Down south, it's not very common for them to do spay and neutering.
Mm-hmm.
So generally, the dogs down there are on leashes as well. So they go around, and it's a very mixed bunch. Okay. So when they come up on transport, we can kind of get an idea of what they are just based on appearance. But it's very hard to tell. It's very difficult to tell. So during the adoption process, we make sure to ask an extensive amount of questions for that.
Sure.
Just because some landlords and housing facilities, they don't allow pit bulls, even though with how nice they are, they just don't. So we want to make sure that any possible adoptee is, you know, going to be the best suitable situation for the animal, because by all means, they've been through enough.
Oh, definitely. Now, if you buy, get, let's say, a dog, and you go through the process of having a vet give them the shots, deworming, checking for ticks and that, does the client get a list of that?
The client gets all the paperwork. We give them the full history of the animal as far as what we know. So they have a copy of everything. We also keep a copy of everything, too. We want, if they bring it to a different vet, we want the vet to have the best known history of the pet as possible. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we'll get back to the dogs, but what about cats? Is that pretty much...
Cats as well, the same thing. We go through the whole tick process, flea process, deworming, their vaccines. We also try to get them all spayed and neutered as much as possible. And we do offer a clinic as well at our shelter. We have a wellness clinic set up by Dr. Julie Cornell, which with our cats, if they don't already come neutered, we have a low-cost neuter programming along with microchipping, as I said, the age-appropriate vaccines, heartworm, mm-hmm. Lyme testing, fecal testing. So it's really along the same lines as our puppies.
Yeah.
We try to have everything covered.
And when we talk about, you know, a purchase fee, which is not a fee, it's a donation, that is one price for a dog and one price for a cat. But if they're an older animal, do you have a lower fee? If it's an older animal?
We do have a bit of a lower fee. For our dogs, it can range anywhere from $195 to about $365, depending. Also, with our cats and our dogs both, it depends on if they're spay and neutered as well.
Okay.
So when you do adopt from us, you get three certificates. One is for a fecal certificate, so you can always bring it back to us for our veterinary clinic. We also have our herbal bath, and then the last one is for spay and neuter certificates. So then that way, if you do get them spay and neutered, then we mm-hmm. actually give you a partial reimbursement for that.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. One of the nice things, I mean, you know, there was a question on your website, and someone said, you know, why are your fees so high? But I don't think they take into consideration that these animals, a lot of them are rescued.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot to that, like you said. Sometimes you have to go down south to rescue, you know, get some rescue animals.
Absolutely.
And, I mean, the cost involved. You'd spend more than that, I think, if you went to a pet store and, you know, or you got a pit bull from a breeder. You would pay a lot more money, and I don't think you get your shots and that included. You have to take your dog to the vets.
I will say some of them do have the shots included. However, with us, you're doing it for a great cause.
Oh, exactly.
That is the main thing, is that you're doing it for an absolute great cause, and you're doing it for an animal that needs your help, needs your assistance. And, you know, as you said, transport is huge for us. Also, we really take into great gratification our foster homes that we have. Because if it weren't for them down south, the animals that, you know, we have in the kill shelters, we wouldn't be able to pull them as quickly. And down south, there's about 1.5 million animals that are euthanized,
mm-hmm.
Which is a huge amount, absolutely huge. So we try to bring them in from those shelters. Then that way we can give them a second chance at life, which is a little bit more costly with transport. But once again, it's well worth it.
Well, you know, I mean, when you talk about the fees and the costs and that, I know so many people that will only get rescue dogs
mm-hmm.
From a shelter like mm-hmm. yours, because, I mean, they're giving a dog a home.
Yeah.
that doesn't need one. So I don't think the fees are the driving force of someone not getting a rescue dog. They love animals, and they're getting a rescue dog because they want to give it a new home.
I know so many people have said that we may have gotten a rescue dog, but the dog rescued them.
Sure.
And it's so true. It really is. And, you know, when you think about veterinary fees, it's very expensive.
Yeah.
You know, and between different vaccines and shots and, deworming and the whole process as far as when you originally get a puppy, it's very costly.
Sure. Well, even the chip. I mean, that is so important in itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, if the animal gets lost, you just call the number, and, you know, we did that with with our first pit bull. They love chasing deer. They have that animal instinct, you know, prey drive. And I had her out in the woods, and all of a sudden, and this, like a nut, you know, I used to let her run off leash, and we couldn't find her, and into the night, and somebody said, well, what you do is leave a sock where in the parking lot where you parked, and then they'll go back to it. My daughter went out with my wife at night and couldn't find it, and then they pulled into the parking lot like at 9 o'clock at night, and there she was sitting by the sock, you know, which was really neat. But I mean, you know, you don't like that, so... But I have to tell you a funny cat story.
Okay.
If I can.
Absolutely.
We've had cats before we got our dog about 10 years ago, and then she passed away, and we just got another one a couple months ago. But an older woman next to where my parents lived had probably 8 or 9 cats, and we thought it was a litter, you know. So we went over to, we live in Saratoga, so we went down to Gloversville, and the lady had cats all over the place, but they were older cats. Mm-hmm. Okay, so she said, oh, I got a gorgeous one for you to look at, and she pulls one out from under the couch, and it was the prettiest gold color I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. So we took it home. Well, I was chairman of our church festival in Gloversville, and we lived in Saratoga, so, you know, I was down there till like 1 in the morning. So I get home, and my wife says, my bedroom door was closed, and she said, don't go in the bedroom. I said, why? She goes, the cat's going crazy. It's meowing, and it's under the bed, and I can't get her out. So the next morning, I said, we have to take the cat back. I mean, the cat just... you know, wasn't working out. So we put her in a box and in the car, and we started to drive down. Well, the cat started to chew a hole in the box.
Oh, my goodness.
Put its paw out and started clawing the box, opening it up, and I said, oh, my gosh, this is a horror movie. And it was screaming and crying. So we got it back to the lady, and the lady didn't want to take it back because, you know, I mean, she had so many cats, and we said, ma'am, this cat is going to tear us apart. I'm sorry. You know, if she worked well for you, take her back. But, man, I'll tell you, it was like Cujo or something, you know. It was a horror movie.
Oh,
but
yeah. Sometimes they can be tough.
Yeah, it was funny, though, mm-hmm. to see the cat digging a hole around the box. I said, I started driving faster. I said, I hope I can make it down there in time before the cat gets out.
Maybe but, that's why she gave them to you.
It probably is. I mean, you know, whatever. But it was neat. I mean, there's a special place you have in your heart to get a rescue animal, whether it be a dog or cat, because like you said, it makes a difference in the person and in the animal, you know.
Oh, it really does. I was never really a cat person. Growing mm-hmm. up, I had a couple of cats, and I just was never really a cat person. So last year, it was shortly after my mother passed away, I was pregnant, and I wanted something to be home with me, and mm-hmm. I was not in the position to have a dog. So I decided to go down to the shelter, and this was my first experience with Adirondack Savistray. So I went in, and me and my fiance had spent probably about a good hour in the cat room. And like I had said, we try to stay as cage-free as possible. So you have you walk into the cat room. We have all the cat towers. We have all their little boxes so they can have so much fun in, and we have all the cats walking around. So I had spent about an hour there, and during that time, there was this one cat that kept on following me around. You could tell he had recently been shaved, and my fiancé had bent down to go and pet him, and he ended up kind of tearing apart his arm a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It was for the most part, innocent. It is almost like he wanted to play but didn't really know how to.
Right.
But the family that was in the room with us, they had told their son to stay away from the cat because clearly it was a mean cat. So in my mind, I said, okay, I want that one. So we ended up getting him. His name was Stallone. Now his name is Tiddlywinks.
Okay.
Which fits him quite well. He went from being the bully of the yard, you could say, to now being an absolute mush. So he is quite the lover, but I'll tell you what, in the shelter when I had seen him, I never thought that he would have turned around the way that he did. Not at all. But within a few weeks, he settled in, he calmed down, and he is just the biggest mush now, and his fur has fully grown back as well.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, so it's the best of both worlds.
Yeah, and how is he around the baby?
He is amazing around the baby, which when I was pregnant, it was kind of funny. We would actually do tummy time with him where he would come up and he would lay on my stomach and just hang out with me for about 15, 20 minutes at a time. And when I ended up having my son, when me and my son would do tummy time for him, Tittle would come over and join.
Oh, that's
so
neat.
So even now, he's generally always about 2 feet away from him at all times.
Oh, that's
neat.
He
absolutely loves him.
That's the way to do it,
oh, yeah.
I tell you. So what else can you give us information about the shelter? Anything that you want to bring up?
Well, I will say I'd like to kind of bring up our community outreach program again, just mm-hmm. because I think that it's so great. We do a clinic. It's set up about once a month. And as I had mentioned before, it's done with Dr. Julie Cornell. It's called Dr. Julie Cornell's Wellness Clinic. And it's served in-house at our shelter. And folks can go ahead and call up, set up an appointment with us, and we'll put you in the best time. But we offer low-cost feline neuters, which is huge. Just because the more spay and neuters that the animals do have, the less abandoned and homeless pets there will be. We also do the microchipping, which, as we mentioned before, is absolutely huge for finding either cats or dogs. We do the vaccines as well, also heartworm and Lyme testing, fecal testing. We do wellness checks, really anything that you need. So if you are in a tight spot financially, you can give us a call. If you have adopted from us previously, you can give us a call. If you have a hard time accessing your vet, you can give us a call. Even with emergency care, you can call us after hours, and we're more than happy to give you any advice and put you in touch with somebody.
Okay. Why don't you give the phone numbers?
Well, our number.
If you look at the top sheet that I gave you. And I think that has the information.
Okay, so our phone number over at Adirondack Savistry is 518-654-6220.
Okay.
And our operation hours on here for Tuesday and Saturday, Tuesday through Saturday, is 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., and then Sunday through Monday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Generally, a lot of the times we'll end up staying open until 5 o'clock as
okay.
well. So normally we're there a little bit later, and also we arrive there at 9 o'clock in the morning. So if you have any questions before 11 o'clock, then you can always call, and we're happy to answer them.
And your website is www.AdirondackSaveAstray.com, and it's spelt just like it is.
Just like it
said. AdirondackSaveAstray.com. And if you get to see Alex, you're going to be very lucky because she's a great ambassador for the shelter. And her picture is hanging on the wall on the inside when you first walk in, isn't it?
I doubt that. Absolutely not. We have so many pictures of all of our animals that we've adopted out over the years. All of our walls are covered just from happy stories and happy tale stories, as we like to say. Kids with the puppies that families have adopted, kids with cats and kittens. There's no pictures of me, but there's plenty of pictures of all of the
Well, that's a shame.
Animals.
I'll tell you, that's a shame. Well, listen, I appreciate you coming in today, and I know you're happy to be one of the beneficiaries of the David Cassidy Memorial Celebration.
We are so grateful.
Now, are you going to be there that night?
I will be there
Friday
that night.
Friday night?
I will be there. Anybody that would like to come down and visit has any questions, please do. We'll be there, or you can always stop by our shelter and ask any questions there. We have our cats. In the cat room every Wednesday, we'll be adding new photos of all of our puppies and dogs that are coming up in transport posted on our Facebook page, so you folks are more than welcome to go ahead and check that out. All of our transports come in on Friday, and they're able to be adopted out by Sunday. Okay. But I will say that I would act quickly, because by the time that they come up on transport on Friday, generally about half of our dogs are already adopted out. They already have a hold on them by the time that they get off of the van on transport. So if you are interested in any of our puppies, you can give us a call and put a hold on them. As I said, we post pictures of all of our puppies and dogs and cats that are coming up on transport every Wednesday on Facebook. So you can take a look at them. If there's one that piques your interest, please give us a call.
Okay. And again, why don't you give out the phone number and the address? Okay.
So our phone number is 518-654-6220. And our address for Adirondack Save a Stray is 4880 Route 9N in Corinth, New York, and that's 12822 area code.
Mm-hmm. And it's easy to get to from anywhere. I know, I mean, there's probably five different ways you can get to Corinth.
Yes. And it's a relatively small town, so you'll definitely be able to find us.
Exactly.
Everybody knows us.
And 9N is one of the main roads, so that's excellent. So. Yeah. Well, listen, I appreciate you being here today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us. We more than appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. And, you know, we'll look forward to seeing you up on the 19th up at King Neptune's in Lake George. And I've never been there, so it's going to be an interesting.
It's a great place with great food.
You've been there?
That. Oh, yes, I have.
Oh, boy.
Yes, I have.
All right. See, I don't get out of Saratoga that much.
That's right. When I was pregnant, we were living over in Lake George. So that
oh,
was
you
one
were?
Of my food spots.
Okay. Well, great. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll look forward to being to seeing you there. And everybody, stop out. And with the beneficiaries that are, you know, get rewarded for this celebration, very good causes, and it'd be nice to have you talk to them. So take care.
All right. Thank you so much.
Okay.